Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the 85th floor observation deck here at Car Talk Plaza. We keep looking west to see if spring is arriving. I guess it's officially spring, but you'd be hard-pressed to really notice that it was spring.
Not here in the great, as you say, the great frozen north. Did you ever have something stuck in your tooth?
Yeah, what do you have? A piece of spinach, it looks like.
How does it get in there?
Grass or something.
Why is it so hard to cut out once it gets in there? Get any toothpicks?
No, not on me, no. Here, want my Bowie knife?
This has to be the greatest.
Did you know that Jim Bowie was at the Alamo?
I heard he moved.
I'm sorry. You have letters to read.
You know, if you wrote the Jim Bowie care of Alamo, it would come back saying Jim Bowie doesn't live here anymore.
Right, address the unknown.
Dick Click and Clack, please add my name to your list of long-suffering wives. My husband is a confirmed motorhead who collects old cars. Rather, he often shows up at the back door and tells me that some decrepit heap, which he assures me is a real classic under all that grime and dust, followed him home, and can he keep it? Generally, he brings home European cars made by companies that I've never heard of with no vowels in their names. And no matter what ails these treasures, like not starting running, he always says that the problem is bushings. At least one evening a week after supper, he tells me he's going to go to the garage to check on the bushings. And that's the last I see him. For a long time, I poo-pooed this bushing business. But last year, a lady called your show about a problem with her Beetle starter. Aha, says my husband. It's a worn starter bushing. And so it was.
I remember.
You vindicated him. Thanks a lot. Now there's no living with him. Old cars, old parts, and my husband's codependent buddy Harold have taken over my household. Every night they're in the garage up to their armpits in oil and grease. I never see them anymore. Meanwhile, clunkers keep showing up. Anyway, I really love the lug, even if he isn't the sharpest tool in the woodshed. What can I do to get him out of the garage? I checked with Fredericks of Hollywood, but they don't have anything slinky covered in bushings and 30 weight oil. Besides, I wouldn't know a bushing if it showed up at my front door and said, howdy do. By the way, as you can see, my husband and his pal Harold are a couple of not-too-bright know-it-alls who can twist the truth to fit the facts. And now here's the reason I read the letter. As you probably have guessed by now, they're both lawyers. Yeah, you guys. Peg Baird from Norwalk, Ohio.
Leave them in the garage. It'll cause less trouble there than any place else.
It's true. It's true. The garage is a relatively safe place.
That's why I'm there 15 hours a day.
You shouldn't leave the engine running like you've been doing, though.
If you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
We're doing
good.
Great. Who are you?
My name's Corinne, and I'm in Radford, Virginia.
Corinne?
Yes, C-O-R-R-I-N-N-E.
Oh, two R's.
Yes, and two N's. It trips people up.
You could
a lot.
Pronounce that Corrine.
Well, you could, but it's not.
Anyway,
what's up?
What's going on?
All right, well, I drive a 2000 Nissan Sentra GXE,
mm-hmm.
and I'm having an issue after I get an oil change. Smoke will pour out of my dashboard vents for like 20, 30 minutes or so. then I get funny smells. Intermittently for 3 weeks or so.
My brother hasn't been riding with you, has he? You know, are you going to one of these quickie lube places?
I was. Well, see, yeah, I really am. I've been kind of changing my oil change places because they keep breaking the dipsticks off.
Really?
What?
I've gone through 3 dipsticks in 2 years.
So they're breaking the dipsticks off, and the other thing they're doing is they're spilling oil onto the exhaust manifold of your engine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this is a different place every time?
Well, not every time. I usually stay with the place until they break a dipstick off and then I switch.
No, I'll tell you, what I discovered on some of these Sentras is if you try to add the oil too fast and you're not paying attention,
it overflows.
It overflows, and that's what I think they're doing every time, because every time you're getting what? A different knucklehead who's changing the oil. And he's going to learn this eventually if you keep going back to the same place. And I'm going to recommend that you go back to the same place. Eventually, the whole staff will be clued in. They say, oh, here comes the pain in the neck with the Sentra.
Well, you know, know, they're breaking the dipsticks off, so obviously they're messing up.
Well, they're breaking the dipstick off because they're ticked off that they're spilling oil. I don't know that. I don't know how they're breaking the dipsticks off. That's
not easy to do.
But the oil's not coming up through the dipstick. Because even where the dipstick enters the block, if that were broken off, unless you're driving with the dipstick broken off, if that's the case, then you are going to get oil spilling all over the place.
Okay.
Are you doing that?
Yeah, right now.
If you're doing that, then you are going to get oil continuously coming out that dipstick hole.
Oh, you can't do that.
Oh, no.
Is the broken end of the dipstick in the hole?
What's in there? A rag?
Take a whole bunch of stuff out to get to it, and I'm a single mom, so I'm on really limited income here, so we have to save up for something like this.
So it isn't the dipstick per se that's broken, it's the dipstick tube. Is that true?
No, the handle just comes off the top.
Ah.
And they're left holding the handle, and they're like, we didn't do it, it just fell off.
And then the rest of it
is inside.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, they need a magnet.
Oh, not so easy.
No, it ain't easy.
In fact, it won't come out by taking the magnet off. They must remove the tube.
Yeah. In fact,
we just did one of these at the shop.
Oh, you did the same thing?
Well, kind of. After I dropped it off the lift. But three guys hid in the bathroom because nobody wanted to do it. But they're going to have to remove enough stuff to get at the dipstick tube. But I guess it may not be their fault that they're breaking it off. Maybe the dipsticks are faulty.
I'm really starting to wonder.
Well, you're going to have to supervise subsequent oil changes. So I'm going to take back what I said. I don't think that they're necessarily spilling any oil on the engine. If you have a broken dipstick, and the tube, the end of the tube is open, then oil is constantly coming out, just one little drop at a time. Okay. Now you could try to stick something in there. You could stick a cork in there, for example.
Uh-huh.
But more importantly, you need a dipstick because you got to know when you're low on oil.
Right.
And you don't know now because you're spilling out a drop here, a drop there. You could be down 2 quarts and you don't know it.
Oh.
Yeah, so you need to, whatever it costs, you need to replace the dipstick. And that requires taking the tube out because they'll never get the dipstick out unless they take the tube out.
Right.
Wow, this is a bummer.
Yeah, but you've got
to put a sign on that under the hood. Don't break my dipstick, you dipstick. Good luck.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Good luck, Corinne.
Good luck.
See you. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey there. This is Ted from Ithaca, New York.
Hey, Ted, what's happening?
Well, I am getting married in June.
Man, that's great. You're going to be a June bride. That's beautiful, man.
Yep, that's that. So we're getting married in June, and I'm transferring schools, and I'm driving to Alaska from Ithaca, New York.
Transferring schools, are you a faculty person or a student?
No, I'm a student. I'm going to school at Ithaca College now.
Uh-huh. And what are you studying?
Outdoor recreation.
Outdoor recreation.
Yep.
Just give us a short overview
of some of the courses.
What courses you might take and what your career options would be when you've completed this course of study.
Let's see. You start out taking Leadership 101.
Ah,
that's course?
It's a very good course.
Tennis,
anyone?
When you're doing a hike, follow me.
Okay, so it's a bunch of one-liners. So you can get the people interested in the outdoor recreation.
That's very, very, very true. A lot of it is just kind
horseshoes or what?
Don't any of you nuts want to watch the World Series?
I love it.
All right.
Yeah, okay. So that's Leadership 101.
Well, you go into lots of other things. Skills courses, backpacking, snowshoeing. You know, you name it. They've got it outside.
Oh, man.
So It
doesn't get any better.
No, it doesn't.
Now, your bride-to-be.
Yes.
She's heard about this Alaska plan?
Oh, yeah. She actually was the one who got me started on this.
No kidding. Is she from Alaska?
No, she went there 2 years ago for a month or so in the summer.
There's a contradiction. There's a month for a month in the summer.
No, there is no month of summer.
for a week.
She must have gone back about 7 or 8 times to get a month of summer.
No, I mean, it's 24-hour sun. And,
yeah. Everything's relative.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, Ted, I've got an idea. And you said, hun,
yeah,
count me in.
So here you are. You're ready to embark for Alaska.
Yeah.
And what's the problem?
Well, it's not really a problem. Just more of a question and concern. I inherited a 1987 Dodge Ram van, 150, eight-passenger van.
Whoa.
And it got 183,000 miles on it. And that's what we're going to take.
Why not?
But the thing is, I'm concerned about the altitude and the elevation going out there. And I was wondering, what should I do to the van, if anything, to adjust it and make it make the trip?
You think you're going to make it to the mountains? What are you, nuts?
Oh, no, you're only going to make it to Washington with this thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
No, there aren't any mountains between where you are and Chicago.
And where you're going to make it to.
You just about get to Chicago.
Right.
What mountains?
The Adirondacks are going to be your biggest challenge.
Hey, it's been to the Adirondacks.
No, you should do nothing.
No, do nothing.
Do nothing, really.
Well, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, you should make sure that the thing is got a chance of making it to Alaska. I would take it to a mechanic and make sure, let him check things, make sure the front end is okay.
Brakes and tie rod ends, ball joints, belts and hoses and whatever.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Because you don't want wheels falling off.
That's very true.
Yeah. You should ask them to install a block heater.
I would do that in Alaska. There's a lot more selection up there.
Oh, maybe, yeah. You go to the Block Heater Mall. Right, they must have a whole mall dedicated to block heaters.
One store after another. Yeah.
Yeah, so, maybe.
It would be silly to put a block heater in now when you don't even know if you're going to make it there.
That's true. That would be wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking, and it might anger the gods.
Just make sure that the thing is safe. And worry about everything else if you make it.
As it happens.
Okay.
Because don't forget, you're going to be with your bride. I mean,
that's true.
Could be better than breaking down? I mean, that's it, man.
It will be something to tell your kids about.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
And you might have four or five kids by the time you make it to Alaska.
See you, Ted. You're a good sport.
He might fill up that van, that eight-passenger van.
So that's why you got it.
Hey, good luck, Ted.
All right, thanks a lot.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Well, Ted wins the prize for giving me the most laughs.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Christine, and I'm calling from close by.
Close by.
You mean like the next building?
I can see you. This is why I don't want you to know where I live.
All right. We're sensitive to your needs.
Okay.
The keys are stuck in the ignition of my car.
Uh-huh.
And, well, that's not so much of a problem now. I'm used to it, and I don't have to look for the keys anymore. But now the car won't start. And I'm wondering, has it somehow drained the battery being in there, like just very slowly?
Well, what does it do now when you turn the key?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
Nothing at all.
This a Japanese car?
No, it's a Blazer.
Blazer. I mean, you're sure you're turning it to the off position?
Yes. When I double-check everything to make sure everything
is off. The way people usually know that it's in the off position is that the key comes out of the ignition switch. But you don't have that way of testing it.
No.
And so it would be possible for you to leave it in something other than...
Like the accessory position.
Like
but you're savvy enough, I believe, Christine, to know.
How many positions does it have? Let's see how good she is at this.
I think it has about four if you include the back going toward you.
So that's the accessory position backwards, counterclockwise, and then off.
And then off.
Then run.
Yeah.
And then start.
Right.
Right. Well, you're good, Christine.
Well, you know it.
You win the Tappan Range.
Kyle Castle is going to put his message on your answering machine. So you know that you've left it in the off position.
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
You didn't notice anything. There were no lights on the dashboard that you've been disregarding?
Well, there is the... I guess would it be called the gear indicator, like when I put it in park or drive?
Yeah.
It remains glowing, but it's no longer glowing.
It remains glowing with the key in the off position?
With the key in the off position.
Well, that'll kill your battery, Christine.
I know it did, but it took so long.
Duh!
Does this cost a lot of money to fix?
Well, you're probably going to need a new ignition lock. That is the thing that the key goes into.
Uh-huh.
I doubt there's anything wrong with the switch.
Okay.
But the lock is faulty, and for whatever reason...
It's glowing.
It's glowing.
Nothing else is glowing, though.
That you know of.
Just me.
Yeah, I suspect that the reason the key won't come out is that you're not really going to the off position on the switch.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'll bet you that for a few days before the car wouldn't start, you didn't drive very far.
I don't drive at all.
Oh, so you leave it for days at a time.
Yeah.
No, that'll do it.
That'll do it.
Even a small drain like the one you described is enough to kill your battery after two or three or four days.
Okay.
So you're going to have to take it to the repair shop.
Well, I took it to someone, and they laughed at me.
Why?
People up the street. I don't know, and they laugh at me every time I get gas.
Is it the way you dress?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, you got a problem.
How old a blazer is this?
I want to say it's a 96. My sister gave it to me.
Oh, I think you should take it to the Chevrolet dealer. They won't laugh.
They never
laugh when they're taking money from you.
Okay.
Good luck, Christine.
Bye-bye.
Hi. Okay, do you remember last week's puzzler?
You're talking to me?
It was another in my series of mathematical matchstick masterpieces.
Oh, not one of those usual pathetic poor excuses for a puzzler.
Well, it may be that too, but I'll have the answer in just a minute. And even though Big Bang astronomers search for gravitational waves strong enough to block our radio signal whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzle. Now, this is the second in my series of matchstick puzzlers.
The matchstick series.
The matchstick series.
Yeah.
It's like matchstick cars. And matchbox. Those are matchbox cars. No wonder I got it wrong.
Yeah.
I asked our listeners to get out their matchsticks or their pen and paper and make the following Roman numeral. 7. Which is VII, then an equal sign, then the Roman numeral, which is an equal sign is two parallel matchsticks, then the Roman numeral 1. So the equation is Roman numeral 7 equals Roman numeral 1, or VII equals I.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as with the other matchstick puzzler, and all matchstick puzzlers, I might add, you must move one matchstick to make this a valid equation.
Oh, yeah.
This is unnecessary to say this because you can't move one and make the thing with an unequal sign because that's not an equation. That's an inequation.
Inequation, yes. I've heard
of
that.
Isn't that an inequality?
Yes.
Now, I mentioned that there are two possible solutions, and one of them Dougie came up with right away, and we decided that was one of the more solutions.
What did he come up with?
Well, he came up with this, which is not too bad, and it's akin to the right answer. He said, take the second I of the VII and put it below and to the left, so it's 1 to the VI power, or 1 to the 6th power, equals 1.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that is it's not on the right line.
Oh, I would have given him full credit for that.
No, I gave him 40% credit. And
geez.
He had to clean the erasers.
There is no line here. It says, you're right. There is a line.
Yeah.
No credit. Give him nothing.
If you were running 1 to the 6th power equals 1, you'd write it 1. The 6 would be above.
Well, the 6 would be above, yeah. Dougie, no credit.
No credit.
No credit.
My answer, however, I think is elegant.
Oof, yeah.
Isn't it?
It is. I admit it is.
You take that same one that Dougie...
Of the seven. So you got VII. You take the last I from the VII.
And you place it touching the right upper portion of the V. And you extend it in a horizontal direction across the remaining I, making a square root sign.
Oh,
so the square root of one
it is.
Equals one.
Wow.
I think that that's pretty snazzy. And that was the answer that I was looking for. So,
by the way, did we get some nasty mail?
Oh, about the 22s?
About number one in the series.
Well,
22 sevenths. I mean, we knew this, of course.
Well, we're going to get nasty mail about this, too, because the square root sign...
I mean,
these are just matchsticks.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want?
And if you didn't get the answer... It's just sour grapes. If you didn't get 22 sevenths and you wrote to us saying 22 sevenths isn't pie, it's because you didn't get it. If you got it, you would be among the proud.
That's
the
true.
The few, the proud, et cetera. Who's our winner?
Oh.
Our winner this. You ready for this?
Look at this.
Whoa.
That's where he is. He's in Phoenix, Arizona. The winner is Richard Kimball.
Who, of course, everyone knows is Dr. Richard
Kimball. Dr. Richard Kimball.
The fugitive.
He's hiding out in Phoenix, Arizona.
Quick,
and
call Lieutenant Gerard.
He's got nothing better to do than send in puzzler answers to us.
Hey, the guy's living hand to mouth. I mean, a $25 gift certificate. I don't know what he can do with that.
Hey, it might be a lot for him. Because, Dr. Kimball, for having your correct answer chosen from among both of the correct answers that we got this week, you are going to win. You will get from us somehow a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division. Good luck to you, and congratulations, Dr. Richard Kimball.
Good work.
From Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, already. And anyway, we'll have a new...
Automotive? Non-automotive?
No,
quasi-automotive?
No.
None of the above.
I'll go for quasi.
Quasi. You can always make it quasi.
We'll have a new quasi-automotive puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us questions about the car of your choice. Our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Shalia, and I'm from Richmond, California.
Shalia. Oh, Shalia. Hold on now. Shalia, that sounds easy enough. It's just S-H-A-L-I-A.
Wrong. S-H-A-L-E-A-H. It's perfectly phonetic.
Shalia. Yeah, no, I'll buy that. I'll accept E-A-H.
Oh, like it's Leah and Shah.
Exactly.
It's like Hialeah.
Like Hialeah, but it's lower. It's lower Leah.
and where again are you from?
Richmond, California.
Yes, Richmond, California.
Now, Richmond, you may not know, is right near Sacramento. Now, Richmond, you may not know, is right near San Diego.
Wrong again.
Richmond, as you may not know, is right near San Francisco.
That's pretty much closer.
Well, it had to be.
How about 100 miles? Within 100 miles?
Pretty much covered the whole state.
I never heard of Richmond, California.
You're kidding.
I never did.
No, why
would I? What's there?
Actually, this is going to sound awful, but a whole lot of crime.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Well, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
When are you moving?
Yippee.
Get out of that place. Come on.
We're looking for a house right now.
Where? Where are you looking?
In Berkeley and...
You're talking. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Berkeley's good.
Berkeley's good. Just very expensive.
Yeah. Well, you got it. I mean, what the hell's it for except to spend it?
There you go.
Yeah.
Explain that to my husband,
After we answer your car question, you're going to have even more money because we're going to save you probably $2,000-$3,000. And that'll pay the lawyer for the bank when you get the mortgage. Isn't it fun? You go to get a mortgage and you pay this lawyer $1,000 and all you do is sign a bunch of papers,
which
he just pumped out of his computer because they're all the same.
Oh, yeah, all boilerplate
stuff. All you got to do is put in the address.
Yep.
And if he screws that up, I mean, even a lawyer can
figure
out.
I don't want to start. First of all, they're lending you the money. They're the ones making the money on the deal. They should pay the lawyer.
You're paying the lawyer.
So the lawyer cranks out all this stuff, and most of it could be wrong. You'll never find out because you're going to keep the house till you die.
And then they say to you, we're not sure anything we did
so
here is
right.
So
they make you buy insurance for which you have to pay.
Exactly. You're going to have to buy title insurance because we don't trust this lawyer that you just paid $1,000 to.
And to make it even worse, if you really need the money, we won't lend it to you. If you don't need it, we'll give you the money. Can you can demonstrate that you don't need the money.
Can you pay cash for the house?
Yeah.
Would you like a loan?
Yeah.
So, all right, how much can we save you? We're going to save you at least the lawyer's fee.
So go ahead, give us your problem. We're ready.
Okay, I have a Volvo. It's a 1986.
86 Volvo, 240 DL.
Yes.
Yeah, automatic or stick?
It is a stick shift.
Cool.
I have the overdrive, which you press. It's a button on top of the gear.
Yes, yes, it's right.
Familiar with it.
That pops up to fifth gear.
Yeah.
So when it's cold, it won't go in.
Uh-huh.
It won't light up. When it's almost warm enough, it'll pop in but pop back out. And when I can tell that the car is actually basically warm enough is when the heat actually starts working in the car.
Then the overdrive works.
That's when it finally heats up. Now, we talked to a Volvo place, and they said, change the transmission fluid, then do it again in 2 months. Well, my husband did that two nights, and it's driving a little bit quieter, but I still can't get it to go into fifth as soon as I get on the freeway.
Oh.
So.
Well, you can't get it. When you press the button.
With all due respect.
Yes.
Who cares?
She needs the OD.
Well, she's going to have it as soon as the car warms up. She waits till the car warms up. It goes into overdrive. I mean, what have we done here? Don't forget, a lot of these cars don't have overdrive.
All right, Shalia, goodbye.
I wouldn't even. How can we save you $1,000?
Well, we can't save
her
anything.
Well, maybe we can, actually.
Okay, so.
First of all, I think it's probably the overdrive relay that's lazy. And I believe it's located under the dash
like
on the right side.
Brother.
I like my brother. And you can find this relay, and you can try tapping it with your finger.
Uh-huh.
Not while you're driving. You can have an assistant drive. In other words, you try to push the button, and if the thing doesn't go in, you have your assistant flick the thing with his finger. And if it pops right into overdrive, then, in fact, it's the relay that's bad. Or it could be that little switch. The little button that you press.
Uh-huh.
Okay, sometimes that wears out, and it has to warm up before it will work. It's one of those two things. My guess is it's the relay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's the relay, he says.
Yeah, either that or there's not enough oil in the overdrive unit. That'll do it, too.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I know it's not the $2,000 answer, but it's the best I can do.
Well, no, here's the $2,000. She could easily have gone to some unscrupulous mechanic.
Who would have sold her a
transmission
rebuild. Who would have
said, you need a transmission rebuild. And it's going to cost $1,879 plus tax, tip, gratuities, and
and college education fund donation.
And parts of the labor.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And so he would have charged you $2,000, and now you know it's really a little thing that's going to cost a couple of bucks, if anything. I mean,
okay.
I wouldn't even waste my time with it. I mean, what are we talking about? A difference of 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. So forget.
It's not a big deal. My concern was, what if it's an indicator that something big is about to go out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Then that's good. That's a good question. And the answer is, it isn't an indicator of nothing.
Okay.
It's simply an indicator that it's not going into fifth gear or overdrive. And all that does is get you an extra couple of miles per gallon if you're at the right speed doing it. And so if you don't get into overdrive, you don't get that extra couple of miles per gallon. And therefore, big deal.
Have you seen the gas prices in California lately?
See you, Shalia.
Shalia, it's a great pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you.
See you later.
So long.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Remember last week at the end of the show, you said I should remind you about telling a story about don't drive like my brother?
Oh, what Lucille said. Lucille, our sister, said.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't drive like either one of my brothers.
That's what
she
said.
Well, actually, it applies more to don't drive like Brother Tom than Brother Ray.
We were
on our way to a bluegrass concert commemorating the life and music of our friend, the late Joe Val.
And the New England Bluegrass Boys.
Indeed. And Tommy was volunteered to drive because I hadn't eaten supper yet, so I was in the back seat eating.
Chowing down
on an Italian submarine sandwich. And he says, I know exactly where the place is.
And I did.
I'll take you there. So I'm sitting in the back eating. Lucille is sitting next to me. My wife, Monique, is in the front seat as a navigator, but she doesn't know where to go, and she's not paying attention because Tommy had said, I know exactly where I'm going. It's 20 minutes away. An hour and a half later.
I missed a cutoff.
We're at Providence, Rhode Island.
I missed a cutoff. I don't know where it went. I remember seeing the sign that said south, and I never saw the sign that said north. It doesn't exist.
But I remember you saying, there's no exit for Route 1.
Yeah.
They took it away.
They moved it. They just like the Alamo.
That's the first sign that you're done for. Yeah, so Lucille's right. You're never driving again. You are never getting behind the wheel again. You are relegated to...
I must have had a lapse there.
You are relegated to passenger status.
Don't drive like
and we won't
my say,
brother. We won't talk about the weaving and the four guys you cut off. Well, that's another story. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Glenn, and I'm calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Grand Rapids.
Glenn, what's going on?
My question is about these reflectored windshield protectors that you unfold and put on your dashboard.
Yeah, the things that say, don't drive with this thing in place.
Right,
my wife has one that boy, the lawyers had to have told them to put that on there, because some moron must have tried to drive with that thing.
Oh, stop it.
Honest, she has one that says, don't drive with this thing in place. Does yours say that too, Glenn?
Yep, yep. In fact, I figured out, yeah, you're supposed to remove it before you drive.
Remove this before you drive.
Yeah.
So this is the thing that people in the hot climates use to keep their seats from catching fire.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I used to live in Houston where I work for the Space Center down there. One afternoon we were coming back from lunch and parking in the parking lot with my friend. And as we got out of the car, this was shortly after I moved down there, I noticed a majority of the cars down there, and this was in the middle of the summer where it gets, you know, in the 90s easily.
Oh, yeah.
Had all of these shields on the outside of their windshields. In other words, they were unfolded and placed on the windshield on the outside rather than the inside. And I looked at my friend and I said, my goodness. You got to be kidding. They don't know how to put these things in their car correctly. I said they can send a man to the moon, but they can't figure out how to put one of these shields on their cars. Well, he looked at me and he said, no, no, no. He said they work better if they're on the outside of the car than on the inside. So my question to you guys is this. Do they work better on the outside than in the inside?
Yeah,
I would think so.
Sure, I would think so, too. I mean, if you're preventing the sun from getting to the windshield at all. If you have it on the outside, I mean, the reason you have it on the inside is you're worried about, number one, someone stealing it. Number two, getting it blown away, even though it's tucked underneath your windshield wipers. Number three, it's easier to put on the outside. It's hard.
Is that strange? Have you ever seen them on the outside before? Like
not
that?
Up here, we haven't.
No, because where we live, everyone steals everything.
Otherwise, that heat is coming into the car. And it's getting reflected after it's been in the car. So it's going to make the car inside a little warmer than if it were outside.
Well, and it's harder for the stuff to get back out. It's better if you keep it out to begin with.
So they should probably put another instruction on there, in addition to not driving, put this thing on the outside of your windshield instead of the inside.
Yeah, and I think if you're in a parking lot, you know, with a bunch of rocket scientists, I mean, those guys with the pencil with the pocket protectors, they're not stealing anyone's, visors. They're into getting rockets to go to outer space. They're not into thievery.
That's right.
So I think that putting it on the outside is better.
You know, normally when they have these things, there's that little notch for the rearview mirror, and so it kind of, it tells you to put them on the inside that way because they got that notch.
Sure.
So I never thought of sticking it on the outside, but hey, these guys can send people to the moon so they know what they're doing.
I think the guys who sell these things are missing a huge opportunity to sell more of them.
We were using them wrong previously.
Exactly.
Exactly. And when they get stolen, you got to buy another one.
Exactly. They're missing a great opportunity. They should tell people, put them on the outside. They work better.
That's right. And if you drive off with it still on, you just turn the windshield wiper blades and
there they go.
Well, Glenn, I'm glad. I mean, I never thought about putting the thing on the outside, but from now on.
No, I never did.
Well, we've made history here.
We have. We certainly have.
Thanks for enlightening us.
Okay. Thanks so much.
See you, Glenn. Take care. All right. Is it time to take a short break?
You're going to put the finishing touches on the puzzle or something like that?
Well, yeah, I'm...
You're going to fine-tune the syntax, check every fact twice, run it by Will Shorts just for good measures and stuff like that?
You're a real pain in the butt, aren't you? We'll be back in a minute.
And even though Robert Siegel insists he works for NCR, National Cash Register, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Which you said would be quasi-automotive.
I did. So here it is. And actually, I stole this.
I mean, what is that little book? What is that?
It's an advanced copy of a puzzle book. See what it says here?
Advanced uncorrected proofs. The answers could be all wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have mentioned
what
is, it.
What does that say there?
Advanced uncorrected. What if they had all the answers right, but in the wrong place?
Oh, fudge. Well, this is a little book by Terry Stickles, and there's a foreword in here by Will Shorts. Everyone knows Will Shorts.
Will!
Yes.
Frostmy.
Anyway, here's the puzzle.
Yeah.
You've been invited to go on a camping trip in the woods with your 25 or 30 of your closest buddies, and you've rented a cabin in the woods.
Got it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're piling your cars. This is the automotive part. And you drive.
And you drive to the woods.
You drive to the cabin in the woods.
We're finished with the automotive part now?
Yeah.
You get out of the car and now it becomes non-automotive.
There you go.
Got it.
The next morning, everyone gets up and it's decided that Cookie is going to make homemade pancakes for everyone. But he needs to add to the recipe 2 gallons of water. Exactly 2 gallons of water. So you are sent to the well to fetch 2 gallons of water with no, what, measuring device.
Oh.
You get to the well.
Yeah.
And you discover there are 2 jugs there. One says 13 gallons, and the other says 7 gallons. How can you, everyone knows this kind of puzzle, right? You
sure.
Pull one and the other.
Wait, do you also have a book of matches and a space blanket?
Yes, you have a book of matches, a space blanket, and a full-size poster of Ginger Grant.
And a gallon jug of San Pellegrino water.
So you have no measuring devices except the 13-gallon.
And the 7.
And the 7. And your job, if you choose to accept,
yeah,
is to come back with exactly 2 gallons of water.
Wait a minute now. Did you go empty-handed?
You went to the well to get water.
So you don't have another container.
You don't have another vessel.
That was my question.
No, so
you don't have another, it ain't that easy then.
You could carry the 2 gallons back in your undershorts, but you're going to use one of these vessels to carry the water back to the... Right?
After you've measured it so precisely.
After you've measured it precisely, exactly.
Wait, can you make 2 trips
to
the well?
No, you can't. The jugs are very heavy. You're going to need a hernia operation.
Heavy? They're only a gallon.
No,
8.33 pounds.
Empty jugs. They're earthenware jugs. Actually, the jugs are made from spent plutonium.
And you have a bad ticker.
And you got a bad ticker, a bad back, and a bad front. So you're allowed 1 trip. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
And you can't take your car because the automotive portion of the Puzzler is
now
over. Can he leave the room from now on when I do the Puzzler?
Love it.
Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
MAC02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Judith.
Hi, Judith.
And I'm from Chicago.
Good.
I don't have a car repair question. I have a request.
Yeah.
I'm a consultant in voice biometrics, and one of my clients asked me to evaluate a product that has been described as a voice lie detector.
Mm, really?
And I've got it hooked to my phone, and I've been asking people questions.
Yeah.
I thought that a really tough group
yeah.
would be auto mechanics.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Wow.
So
you have this device hooked up right now?
Yes,
I do.
And
you're ready to tell which one of us is lying?
Okay.
Have you got your questions all set? I could suggest a couple.
I've got a couple questions.
Oh, okay.
And you can ask each other questions if you want.
Okay.
Well, before we start, I want to say I did have a relationship with that woman. I want to get that out of the way right now. And how will we know when we've been caught in a lie?
You hear the beep.
Oh, the beep. The beep signifies a lie?
That's right. Or it signifies something other than the truth.
Ah, yes.
Right, which should only be what?
Which it could
a lie.
Well, it could simply be
a half-truth.
Tension.
A half-truth, an
tension.
Inaccuracy of manipulation.
Okay,
sure.
Well, we're ready. You ask us anything you want.
Yeah. Oh, you're
pretty,
one of those.
Pretty sensitive machine.
Okay,
Judith. Judith, I can tell you're going to do this fairly and honestly.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And as would we. Yeah, I like this machine.
All right, I'm calm now and I'm ready.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Have you ever forgotten to put lug nuts on a tire and blamed your brother?
Oh, I have forgotten to put lug nuts on a tire, and I had no one to blame but myself when the wheel fell off at 60 miles an hour.
On his own car.
On my own car. It was my own car.
Good, you were truthful.
I was truthful.
That's right.
No, I am always truthful. Oh, shut up!
Okay, I'm ready to field the next question.
Have you ever exaggerated slightly about any problem, such as maybe a cracked hose is a blown engine?
Can I have my attorney present?
I have to answer that one for my brother. He did this with his very own son. He got his son to spend $350 on his car by telling him that a hose was going to blow the engine. And it was the poor kid, he was making $60 a week working as a laborer, and my brother managed to squeeze $350 in repair costs.
Hey, I had a boat payment. I mean, when a boat payment is due, a boat payment is due.
That's right.
You can't worry about
family
relationships.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was a lesson. It was a good lesson for him.
Yeah, in fact, the reason I had to clip him is Dad canceled his appointment, and he was supposed to come in.
Have you ever put anything on backwards or upside down and then denied it later?
Yes. Oh, yeah, we deny everything.
I like this little machine. Could you send it to us?
Well, I don't sell it, but I'm going to give Ken Rogers the information about how to get it.
We would love to see
this. Occasionally we get people that call the show that we are convinced have made up a set of symptoms for the sole purpose of confusing us and confounding us and making us look stupid. Little do they know, they don't have to make anything up to make us look stupid.
But it is true. We have, on a couple of occasions, many occasions,
had our suspicions.
We've had suspicions because the set of circumstances simply didn't hang together.
Ah.
And it would be great to be able to prove that these people are lying. And if you can't send us the whole machine, just send us that little beeper thing.
Right, that's all we need. See you,
it's
Judith.
Probably a lot cheaper. Thanks for calling, Judith.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Voice biometrics.
Oh, dangerous
Don't
stuff.
You love it?
Yeah. Woo! 1-888-CART. Beep! That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Dan. I'm calling from Elliott, Maine.
Hey, Dan.
Elliott, Maine. How cold is it there?
Oh, today, comparatively speaking, not as cold as it could be, I guess. It's just dismal, you know?
Dismal, yeah. So how far up is Elliott?
I'm like an hour from Boston.
Oh.
It's right over the New Hampshire border.
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't heard of Elliott, so I figured it was one of those places that you needed to get to by dog sled, but I guess not. So what's up, Dan?
All right, so I drive a 96 Ford Windstar, and driving it around one day, and I noticed just a rattling sound. Definitely sounded, couldn't tell where it was coming from at first, but it was rattling. Then the rattling started to get worse, mainly when I was, like, stopped. Then I kind of looked under my car to see if I could see anything while it was rattling. And I saw around the exhaust pipe there was some sort of washer, and that was causing the rattling. It was shaking around.
What do you mean by washer?
I guess I would describe it as a washer. It was a metal ring that was around
It's a flange, probably.
Okay.
Yeah,
and it rotted away.
So basically, I think that as time is progressing, I'm a musician. I don't make too much money.
Oh, duct tape. Musician's duct tape.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You know,
no,
like,
won't work.
I guess like perpetuating culture by giving guitar lessons isn't like helping my exhaust leak, but like I insist on doing it. So yeah. I didn't know if you had any, you know, home remedies for maybe, you know, fixing that up because it seems it's deteriorating quickly.
So this piece that fell off is a flange that holds one pipe to another pipe.
Yeah, you're not going to like this.
So when this piece fell off, and the reason that the exhaust system is flanged like
Did it fall off?
Well, no, it's around the pipe, and it's rattling.
Yeah, you could take it off.
Okay.
And you wouldn't hear that noise anymore, but you would hear the exhaust noise, which I'm sure you're hearing, right?
Yeah, and it's definitely getting worse.
And it's going to get worse, and there it is.
All right, well, here's the deal. So you could go someplace and have the exhaust system replaced. And the reason the exhaust system has these flanges on it is so that it can be replaced in sections. In other words, one section bolts to the engine and it has the catalytic converter or converters in it. The next section is another extension
from
that.
This is not the answer that Dan wants to hear.
He's going to love this answer. He is going to love this answer.
Yeah.
So it's so that.
But you're talking about replacing.
No. Ye of little faith.
He does not want to replace.
He wants an answer that's going to involve frozen concentrated orange juice cans, and he's going to get one.
Exactly. All right.
He's going to get one. I just for the rest of our listeners who might want to actually do it the right way, I'm going to explain how you would do it.
Okay.
So in an ideal world, Dan, you still there?
Yeah.
In an ideal world, you would unbolt one of these flanged sections, that is the one that has a pipe that's leaking, and you would discard it and bolt in a new piece that would be, you know, flanged without a rotted flange like you have, and you'd replace it and all would be right with the world and the exhaust system.
Okay, enough of this nonsense. He's not interested.
So what you need, you know those...
Here's how my brother...
How about there's also this thing right around where that flange is kind of shaking and where it seems like things are starting to fall apart. It kind of looks like, I don't know, I would compare it to like a Chinese finger trap or something like that. It's like made of metal.
Oh, that's even worse. Yeah,
that's kind of breaking on one side too. Like
no good can come of going under there and looking too much.
Yeah,
because you're never going to see anything that's going to encourage
that you like.
You're never going to see anything at all that you like. So what you need to do is you can get one of those big V8 cans. You know those metal, you know, what's that stuff? Hawaiian Punch.
Ah.
You know those Hawaiian Punch cans? And you can cut one of those.
Cut it right in half.
You know, long ways.
Yeah.
Okay? With a hacksaw or a tin snips. And then you could wrap that.
Don't hurt yourself. Though.
You could wrap that around the affected area and then wire it up.
That's it. Now you're getting to the wire.
Could I use guitar strings?
You could use old guitar strings, but but usually you use something called mechanics wire.
Okay.
You know, but if you're not going to use strings, I'd use the low E and A strings.
Yeah.
You know, those would be the best ones. The high strings
they'll melt. Small.
But you could do that, but preferably you could take it. I know this is not in your lexicon, taking it someplace.
Yeah.
No.
But you could take it to a repair shop where they could actually not replace. I don't want Tommy to get nervous.
Weld.
They're going to cut out the affected section and weld in a prosthetic.
Okay.
And they may be able to even weld in this flex pipe.
Yeah.
Will they weld in the orange juice? Yeah.
They might. If you bring the Hawaiian Punch cans, they may weld those babies right in for you.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I could tell, Dan, you're encouraged by this. I think before before you go anyplace, you ought to buy yourself a couple of quarts of Hawaiian Punch and drink those and then contemplate, you know, your future here.
I honestly will, you know.
Dan, yeah,
I wish you the very best.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, the other component involved in this is muffler cement. So after you've wrapped as tightly as you can and formed around the pipe, you know, with the orange juice cans and secured it with the baling wire or the E-strings, then you slather the muffler cement on there.
Which you get at the, at your
auto parts
auto
store.
Parts auto parts store.
Yeah, you get that at the auto parts store, and maybe you can get a price on a case of it because you may need
you might
a
be
lot.
Under there,
and you slather that on, and if you've done it right, the leak will be gone.
Yeah.
Until the next piece falls off. So call us in 2 weeks.
That's fantastic.
It'll take 2 weeks for that stuff to dry anyway. Good luck. Good luck. Dan, everyone needs to know how to do this.
Yeah.
And a musician can do it.
I'm glad I could share. The whole can thing is like, you know,
isn't it beautiful?
Rocked my world, man.
Yeah, oh. I can tell you were excited by the can thing. Yeah.
A musician would appreciate this more than anybody else.
See you, Dan, and good luck.
Take care.
Take a photo with your cell phone and send it to us. Let us know what works out.
I will.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to
kidding.
Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher-Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, currently in spring training for the Tri-State Brew, Chew, and Barbecue, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our
Brew, Chew, and Barbecue.
Yeah.
Oof.
Oh, it's the biggest event of the season. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Genovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our interpretive dance instructor is Tristan Shout. Our staff alpinist is Ariana Topiet. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikov and Dropov. The banker at Car Talk Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. Our Russian vacation specialist is Ivana Vikov. Our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the gifted and talented squirrels in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like either one of them.
Oh, shut up.
That's my sister, Lucille. She's your sister, too.
Yeah, I think so. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1412, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week, Car Talk investigates an in-depth, off-the-record, underground parking garage conversation with a guy we're calling Deep Plaid, an actual plaid pants-wearing car salesman.
Really? What did we learn?
Don't wear plaid with stripes.
Okay. Well, what else did we learn?
Well, he tells us about the secrets he used to control the customer.
Oh, other than stealing his keys and knocking him over the head with a tire iron?
You'll have to read it and find out. An exclusive conversation with Deep Plaid all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the IRS stamps the network's returns audit mercilessly whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.